Someone told you knee pain is just getting older? They were wrong. The Joint Relief Institute offers fast joint pain relief covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000, as in zero pain.
Hey, it's Suzanne Musion. I'm in for Steve Bertrand, who is away and traveling. I guess you can say it's business. I don't know. It sounds pretty much like pleasure to me. But we're back, and we have Amina Alahi from Blue Sky Innovation in the studio. Hi there.
Hi, how are you?
Good. I want to talk first about Techstars. They just had their new class and opened up to 10 new entrepreneurs who, as I understand it, were selected from among 2,000 applicants.
Yeah, they seem to be getting more and more applications each year. Managing director Troy Hennikoff told me that they're also really stepping up their outreach. So they're tapping into their own networks, talking to VCs that they know and other people just to say, hey, really, who are the best companies?
Yeah, exactly. And I saw them preview their companies and was fascinated. Some of them I don't understand. You know, they can say as much as they want about SAS and all of the rest. But who were some of your favorites?
Well, I can't pick favorites, but there are definitely some that are more unique than others, say. You've got this company called GeoBit.
I like that one, too.
They create this, as I understand it, it's a tiny device that you can embed in a child's clothing, and it helps the parent basically keep track of where their kid is.
Yeah, he said he lost his son in Maggie Daly Park. That was the motivation.
Yeah, that seems like pretty strong motivation.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting one. And then, like you said, there are quite a few SaaS companies. There was one that could be interesting, I think, from a family perspective, called Pact. They're based in Evanston. They do, packaged but healthy, I guess, prepared lunches.
Saving mom a lot of time.
Yeah.
They'll deliver it right to your door. So if your kid's got lunch needs tomorrow, they'll send it right to your door.
I could probably use that myself.
Who can't use that? I'm not sure it's just for kids. I feel like I could use that to come to work.
Right.
Okay, let's also talk about, as you walked in here, I saw you with your phone out. You were Snapchatting.
I was Snapchatting, yes.
So I have resisted. I'm on everything else. That one I resist. But tell us why entrepreneurs in Chicago are really taking advantage of Snapchat.
Well, Snapchat is an interesting platform because it's really visually heavy. People post videos and images, and after a while, they disappear. So it's a really interesting opportunity to have fun and post silly things that are kind of raw and not really planned.
Isn't so much of it stupid, though? I mean, really, I watch my kids just taking selfies in the car. Why should somebody who's a pretty serious entrepreneur care?
Well, we're thinking about this a lot because we're trying to build our own Snapchat following. We're Chicago Blue Sky, if you'd like to follow. But the idea is that personal branding is so important. And some of the people that I talked to said that using Snapchat is a great opportunity to showcase your product. For example, one of the companies we highlight is called Flowers for Dreams. They do these beautiful flower bouquets. They can show people how they make them behind the scenes. Someone else who's a branding expert can show kind of her life and when she's working on a blog post or when she's doing work for a client, and just to kind of let people get to know her a little bit
behind the scenes.
Exactly.
Right? People used to pay a lot of money to get sort of a back office tour, and now just go on Snapchat.
Yeah.
So did you Snapchat this? Are we going to be super famous?
I hope so.
Me too.
But I did Snapchat it, yes.
Okay.
Because I want people to know I was here.
Yeah, me too. And finally, also, you brought in a story that made my stomach turn just a little bit because of the image that went along with it. But supposedly there's some new pool accessories that are out on the market, some of which I would not put anywhere near my pool. But tell us about that.
So you're saying you don't want a floating poop in your pool?
I really don't want a floating poop. I've had too many kids who put real ones in the pool.
Good. Fair enough. The story that we did was about emoji-themed pool floats. So these are like 6 foot long smiling poops or smiley face with sunglasses or eggplant.
And who's buying these?
Probably millennials. I mean,
guess what? Do they have a pool?
Friends. Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. The people who will buy them, are they really going to take them like to the Soho House pool and pull their poop emoji floaty in there?
I mean, can you imagine the Snapchat possibilities?
You know what? That's so true. It would create amazing visual imagery, that's for sure.
It would be a sensation.
And so you think this is your prediction that these are going to become kind of the summer trend?
Well, I think there's potential for sure. I mean, emojis are all over social media. They're eye-catching and unusual, certainly, these pool floats, and why not?
Can I just say more power to them?
Yeah.
I don't think I'll be a customer on that one.
Definitely not the poop.
I may do the packed where I get lunch sent to me. I might pretend that it's for my kids, but then actually just have it sent to me so that I have lunch ready for work.
You deserve convenience.
We all deserve convenience. And you were also talking about something interesting happening at the shed, right? Blue Sky Innovation reported on a new 3D printer. Amazing happening.
Yeah. So they have a 16-year-old lizard who last year developed a tumor in his rear right foot. So they had to amputate his foot. And they are using 3D printing and molding techniques to come up with a new foot for him, basically. So what we were able to see this week is the process through which they take a mold of his leg, and then they 3D print a new sort of prototype foot that he can test. It's not something he can wear all the time, but their hope is that they can use 3D printing to create better and better versions and eventually
Amazing.
Create sort of a formal
Awesome.
Design.
Amina, thank you so much. Amina Alahi from Blue Sky Innovation. Maybe they can use the 3D printers to do the poop floaties, and this would just be a huge new booming business.
This is getting wild.
Yeah. Hi there, it's Suzanne Mushin. I'm in for Steve Bertrand this week. I'm the host of the Big Payoff podcast. And we have Tom Gimbel with us today. Tom is from LaSalle Group, and he is giving us something that I know we all need right now, Tom. So, look, I'm stuck inside. I'm looking out at the tourists. It's July 4th weekend. Help me, please.
Hey, Suzanne. How are you? Good to talk to you.
Great to talk to you.
So I think, you know, so many times people get in this summer rut, especially they're jealous of their friends that have Friday afternoon summer hours and they're leaving at 1 o'clock and they're working, and I'd rather be outside at a beer garden or a patio or in my own garden planting flowers. And
right,
and
now I'm more depressed. Go ahead.
You're never depressed, Suzanne.
Not true.
I think that really you got to look at it the exact opposite way, is saying a lot of people are taking time off during the summer. Their kids are out of camp. I'm going to step into my job, and you embrace it. And you say, it's not about what I'd rather be doing. It's about loving what I actually am doing. So if you're going to take a vacation, take a vacation. But come back with the goal of being charged up. Let it be a positive, not something that makes you hate your job more. And I'm glad I'm away. Be excited to come back and let it invigorate you and revisit your goals. Know what you want to accomplish in your career and write it out. And then go after that, whether it's summer, winter, fall, or spring. Go after what your goals are.
Hey, Tom, when you're on vacation, what do you recommend? Should you check your email, or you truly turn that off?
Well, the analogy I always give is, when you're at work, do you turn off your personal life? And the answer is usually no.
Right.
So I don't think you work the exact same schedule, obviously. You're not checking email every single day, but make a designated time and say, for 1 hour a day, you're going to check your emails. You're going to see if something came through from either your boss, a subordinate if you manage a team, or a client that's really crucial.
And am I going to answer? And I'm going to answer that. So what do? I've got a client who's coming in and they've got a hot question. Do I kick that to a coworker, or you think I need to take the call?
I think you kick it to, you talk to the client and or via phone or email, and you say, here is an introduction of a coworker who I've worked with and have a great relationship with. I'm confident they can handle your situation. If it can wait until Monday, I will be back and work with you first thing in the morning. However, if it's an emergency and you need to deal with me, I am available.
I wish I had you in my ear. You could do that. Was just said perfectly. And now what about taking breaks during the day? Because I'm here again. I've got at least the benefit of a big, beautiful glass window. But what do I do to stay motivated if I really am inside?
Well, I mean, the reality is, we live in, especially in Chicago, that's where the listenership is of Steve's show. It's beautiful.
Steve's show? I think it's Suzanne's show.
Suzanne's show.
Thank you. Uh-huh.
You'll be in for Cochran next week.
You got it. Just taking over show by show, one at a time.
I think that we've got to look out the window and say, it is beautiful. So you know what? Don't eat at your desk. Don't get the subway and eat at your desk. Take your lunch and go take a walk throughout the streets and enjoy the nice weather. And if you're going to be working and you're going to be late at work, go take a walk at 4 o'clock in the afternoon and get a coffee. Enjoy the weather to the best of your ability. At the end of the day, a company pays you, and you have to do the work that they pay you to do it. And they don't pay you to be out on a picnic in the park.
True.
However, it's I personally, I think in the wintertime when it's cold outside, you should take a walk and get away from the office for 10 or 15 minutes.
Absolutely.
It's refreshing and it invigorates you. So don't, if you're only trapped if you allow yourself to feel trapped.
That's a good mindset. And then how do I actually come back? Let's say I'm on vacation, I've had the time of my life, and I've really been in the zone. How do I get back into it once I've got to come back in the office?
Well, you've got it, going back to the goals. If you've got to set down what are tangible goals, and a lot of times people are setting goals on such a, either a too long basis or too short basis, and everybody's got to manage their own brain accordingly. But whether it's monthly or quarterly, is to set the goals for what you want to accomplish. Set a goal for a promotion or a raise. Set, even if it's a goal that you want to leave your current job or your current company.
Exactly. Don't write that one down, though.
No, don't write
it down. Where someone could find that.
Set a goal for stability and say, I want to be here for another year and get another promotion so I'm more attractive out in the market. And then take a step back and drill down on that and say, in order to get that promotion, I've got to accomplish the following three things. And then go do that. And even better yet, put down an expensive deposit for next summer's vacation, and then you have to work hard to be able to pay for it.
You know what? You're good. You're good at what you do, Tom Gimbel. So, Tom, thank you so much. Tom, I had said the LaSalle Group. You're the LaSalle Network, aren't you?
We are. But people know what you meant, and I appreciate you having me on. Good to talk to you, Suzanne, and have a great 4th of July.
You too. We'll be back in just after the short break. It's Suzanne Muschen. I'm in for Steve Bertrand, who is, I don't know, he says he's on some work trip. To me, it sounds more like some kind of a junket. But I guess it's good for WGN. So I'm standing in for him. And we're talking today about a lot of summer-related topics. And in the studio, we have somebody who shares my last name, and that's probably because he's my dad. So we have Arthur Muschen, who's an attorney, employment attorney at Lehner Muschen. And he's also famously now the star of the Ask Arthur segment on the Big Payoff podcast. Do it people stop you on the street for that now?
I have so many autographs, I'm carrying a sticky pen with me.
It's probably hard to get outside now.
It's really amazing. Absolutely amazing. And the limousines are really nice, Susanna.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
A lot of perks of being on the Ask Arthur segment. But we did a show last week where we were talking about whether or not it's a good idea to get a summer internship. And in fact, Michael, who's the producer on this show, said that's how he got this job, was basically by taking a free summer internship. Is that a good idea, Dad?
Well, it depends on what your options are. First of all, when we talk about unpaid internships, we're talking about those that are not related to college courses, because that's a different kind of potential internship and of value. Typically, an unpaid internship is illegal in most cases, because you're not supposed to be doing work which is of benefit to the employer. So if you're not doing work that's benefit to the employer, what are you getting out of it? And that's the real key question. What is the value to you going down the line 2 months, 6 months, or a year?
So if Michael and others who would say, but look, I wouldn't have the job I have now had I not gotten that first free, if I'd not taken that free paid, unpaid internship, what would you say?
Again, what was your option? Did you have a paid internship opportunity? If you had a paid one, obviously you take it. If your option is to go work to pay off some college debts, and that has long-term implications, you have to think about that. And the real question is, statistically, an unpaid internship does not give you a leg up versus getting a job. Statistically, that's absolutely correct. And an unpaid internship, typically, even if you land the job, you start at a salary. When you get a job, that's almost $15,000 a year less than somebody who got a paid internship.
That's kind of an amazing data point. And it's also true that some of these unpaid internships aren't actually doing work that's valuable. So you might think you got a White House internship or an internship at Facebook, but you told us a great story about someone who ended up actually doing work that wasn't so educational.
My favorite story is that my wife's daughter got an internship on the Hill for a senator. And one of her jobs, not every job, one of her jobs was to go save space at the softball field so that the rest of the staff could have the field that they wanted. You also hear anecdotal stories about people going into offices where they're serving coffee, where they're doing cleaning out desks, those kinds of things. I think employers are smart enough to ask the right questions. Just because you had an internship at the greatest place in the world, let's say it's WGN, what did you do? What were you, how were you mentored? What skills did you learn? And that's the test.
So if you're the young person, let's say a college graduate, and you're trying to look for a job, someone offers you an unpaid internship, what kind of questions should you ask?
I want to know what I'm going to be doing. I want to know what skills they think I'm going to get. And most of all, I want to know whether or not I'm going to have a mentor. Am I going to have somebody who is going to track my progress, who's going to evaluate my work? And is there something I can put on the resume other than I just spent, you know, I spent 2 months or 1 month at WGN?
And now if you're the employer, what should you be thinking about if you do have an intern? What kind of value do you want to give them?
Well, first of all, you should find out, think about whether or not what you're doing is really legal. In terms of the internship, if it's paid, I will tell you, we are going to provide them with real work, real substance, and evaluations. As an unpaid intern, we're probably going to give them experiences. We're going to have them attend things, have them listen, but are they going to get real skills? No. They'll have fun. They'll enjoy themselves. They can say that this is what they did. But on a real skill level, I don't think they gain much.
And don't you think to some extent these internships, especially with the big brand names, are more really for the parents to be able to brag about the kids?
Well, it's that as well as the fact that a great quote that I saw in Forbes magazine, that an unpaid internship really says more about your socioeconomic situation and position than it does about your skills.
Right. Isn't that true? I mean, a lot of people can't afford to take that unpaid internship.
Absolutely. And they should really question, if I can get minimum wage, if I can get minimum wage for 30, 40 hours a week, and I can use that to reduce my college debt, isn't that valuable? In fact, maybe more valuable than just having an internship where I'm not doing anything of real substance.
Right. And so how would I know if it's legal or not? Are there any what criteria do we use?
You use or your employer
uses? I use the kind of royal we in
well,
that.
Well, first of all, an unpaid internship cannot provide value to the employer. You start with that concept. This is all about the intern getting experiences or doing things that are unrelated to that work of the employer. So the real question is, why would anybody, and that's one of the problems with unpaid internships today, why would any employer take the risks of lawsuits, liquidated damages, et cetera, to provide that experience?
Right. So now for the million-dollar question. I have two choices this summer. I'm going to be making minimum wage working at the Walgreens behind the desk, or I'm offered an unpaid internship at Google.
Tell me what you're going to be doing at Google. Tell me what the experience and skill levels. What are you going to walk out with, and who's going to be your mentor? That's the question. And I'm assuming that you can afford not to work. Working, even at Walgreens or anywhere else, Starbucks, gives you great experience. You have to show up on time. You have to follow rules. You have to deal with a lot of different bosses. That's great experience.
Arthur Mutian, Dad, thank you so much for joining us. And you can listen to more Ask Arthur segments on the Big Payoff podcast. We're going to be back in just a minute talking about a new kind of shared workspace that is something you're going to want to take a listen to, because it's going to give you a sort of deep breath experience when we come back. And now we'll also take a quick break. Hi, it's Suzanne Mutian in for Steve Bertrand this week on the Wintrust Business Lunch. And look, I've been somebody who has been out of the professional office culture environment for about 2 years and have become fascinated with all the different options that are out there right now. And I have the general manager of my favorite new place, Breather. And so it's Toby Ciotone. You're the general manager. And first, let's talk about the general idea of shared workspace. So what is going on? Why are people opting out of a traditional office environment?
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that they don't necessarily need that static workspace anymore. There's a lot more entrepreneurs out there these days that would prefer to have an environment where they can come and go as they please and not have to pay for it all the time.
And are there differences between, so if you're in Chicago, you hear about 1871, you hear about WeWork. What is the difference, or are they really just all the same?
Well, we're actually a member of 1871, strangely enough. So the differences are in what you need. Breather actually isn't a shared workspace. We're a private workspace, a network of private spaces. So when somebody uses a breather space, it's going to be their space alone. It's not going to be the hustle and bustle of a bunch of people trying to get coffee and doing conference calls. It's going to be an environment that's not only practical, they can get a lot of work done there, but it's also going to be peaceful. They can relax.
Right. So tell me how this works. First of all, I saw the photography. I mean, the spaces look beautiful, and they're very different. They look more comfortable, more informal. It's not just a desk and a chair. So tell me how I use it, and also what's the philosophy behind it?
Yeah, so Breather is a network of practically well-designed spaces. We've got an entire team in Montreal that's all they do is design these spaces meticulously. And what the way it works is you would just go to breather.com or download our app. You actually have to download our app to use the product. You'd sign up, give us your name, email, phone number, credit card, and then you'd simply go in and reserve the space. You can reserve it for as long as you'd like.
That's what I was going to ask. So you can take, is it by the hour?
It is. So you can take it for an hour. You can take it for an entire day. We love you if you take it for an entire day.
And what's the philosophy behind it? Why? What is the unmet need that Breather's filling?
Yeah, so a couple of things. For the person that doesn't want to join a concept or a company where they have to pay a monthly membership fee,
right.
With Breather, you're just paying for what you use. Very simple, very turnkey. It's going to be on your own. You're free to come and go as you please. Within the app, you get access to the room. So you'd go download the app, and when it's time for your reservation, you're going to get a code to the door. Then you go in and let yourself in.
Like an office divvy bike system.
Kind of, yeah. A little bit different, but yeah, very, very similar.
So I'll tell you why I was so attracted to it, because there are moments when I am working and have clients in town where I need a conference room or a private space. And if I go and I'm at 1871 or WeWork or anywhere else, it's not conducive to that kind of a meeting. So you can just rent a room that has comfortable seating or just a conference table. I think that was kind of genius.
Absolutely. And every space has both of those things. So there's going to be a conference room table. Some of them seat 6 people. Some of them seat 12 people. Depends on the room. And there's also going to be an area with a couch and a couple of chairs. We've got a lot of interesting books in there. I think they're interesting because I picked them. It's one nice part of my job is I get to go book shopping. You can relax in there. You can do business in there. We have digital displays in most of the rooms, Apple TV, so you can broadcast, project, whatever you need to do.
So tell me if I'm wrong. You can push back on this. Are you catering more to women than to guys?
Not at all. Interesting you say that. I haven't heard that feedback from our customers or
anything.
No,
I saw the spaces, mm-hmm. and unlike some of what I'd call the fraternity culture that seems to be prevalent in some of the, this just felt, and look, in the name and everything else, and I'm not trying to suggest that men shouldn't come. I'm just saying,
sure.
As a woman entrepreneur, I felt like, oh, finally somebody gets it the way I'd like to work.
Yeah, I think it's, the design is based on making sure that people of all businesses, all walks, feel really comfortable in there. Yeah.
And how many of these are up and around in Chicago?
In Chicago, we just started, so late March. But we've got 7 spaces right now in the Loop and River North. Soon to be more. As of next week, I'm launching 2 more in the downtown area. By the end of the year, we're looking to maybe double that number. So a pretty quick rise for us. And then worldwide, we've got 180 spaces.
Wow.
Our biggest market is New York. Second in place is San Francisco.
Awesome.
Our company's based in Montreal. Started there in 2012. And just grew.
You guys are growing
there.
So fast.
Yeah.
So Toby Ciotone Breather.
Mm-hmm.
Download the app.
Yep.
Rent by the hour. I can't wait. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks for having us. Appreciate it.
Yeah. We're going to go to a news break. Thanks so much for listening. This is Suzanne Muschen. I've been in for Steve Bertrand today. I'm the host of the Big Payoff podcast. You can listen to it on WGN Plus. Just download the app on iTunes, anywhere else you want to hear podcasts. And look, you know, Steve, I think, felt a little nervous when he was leaving, knowing that I was coming in and, you know, pretty much taking over the airwaves. Because look, you know, girl power, all the rest. feel like a woman-hosted show, one right after the other, is a good idea. So we'll see how Steve feels when maybe I'll even just take over his desk. When he comes back, I'll have my feet up, and he'll see how that feels. But no, I love Steve. We miss him and hope he's having a great trip. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com.